Welcome to the show, hour number two. Thank you for being with us. Jason Ross, Ken Rudolph, my name is Damian Barling. Watch the Sacramento Republic FC host the San Antonio FC this Saturday at 8 p.m. at Bonnyfield. Purchase tickets at sacrepublicfc.com or hang out just a little bit. We'll have a pair to give to you.
What's up, man?
That was a fun first hour.
Absolutely.
It was.
That was a fast first hour, too.
With a totally unexpected story.
But a good one.
It was a great one.
Oh, yeah.
I love when there's a clear, I said this to Jason, Ken, before you, I love when we have a clear, definitive, this is the top story.
Yeah.
Because it creates so much, like people have such a great reaction to it. And we're you book topical guests, and Nate Duncan is so good. If you missed the interview with Nate Duncan of the Dunked On podcast, you can check it out in its entirety when our show is over at khtk.com. Now let's get into Three to Hard Way. Who's leading us off?
I'll go. Okay, so look at here, gentlemen. We've talked about this quite a bit. The San Francisco Giants are having some issues right now. They got about 56 games remaining on the schedule. And by the way, if you look at the schedule for the rest of this month, and woo, they won't see a sub-500 team for another month. Question is, what's your prognosis on the Giants? Do they get it together and win the division? Do they somehow get it together in time to get the wild card, or are they going fishing in the offseason?
I'll go division.
They're winning the division?
I think so, and the only reason I'll say that is because the Dodgers have crapped away every opportunity they've had to seize complete control of the West. And as a matter of fact, last night the Marlins helped out by having a bizarre final sequence with the Chicago Cubs. The Mets lost also. All these teams that have a chance to challenge for the wild card position, they're crapping it away. As at the same time, the Dodgers can't seem to win a game on nights the Giants blow one.
Who beat the Dodgers?
Rockies.
How far are they behind? Seven.
They're creeping.
So they're getting up
seven
there, too.
Seven games.
Mm. I'll still go Giants win the division just because I don't think the Dodgers or the Rockies will be able to seize control of it.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with that, too, because a couple things. The Giants still have most of their best players around. The Dodgers' best player still is not there. We don't know when he's coming back in Clayton Kershaw. It's an abnormally long bad stretch for this team. They had the awful first 18 games. They've had a terrible about 18 games here lately. In between that, they were the best team in baseball. So they are capable of that, and they've done that for longer stretches. I want to see over the long haul how Nunez will help, how Will Smith out of the bullpen and today's starter Matt Moore will help. I think they still have the best overall depth and roster and a great manager. I think they'll figure it out, but I'm saying that with
yeah, you don't sound confident.
Certainty.
Yeah,
little
you don't
certainty.
Sound confident at all. What do you think, Rudolph?
I think they're in trouble. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs.
Like fish it really?
I think they're going to be
the whole thing
because they didn't make enough moves to help themselves out during the trade deadline when the Dodgers made a lot of moves to help themselves out and get better. Now, Colorado lost their rookie, Story.
Story, yeah, Trevor Story.
And that's huge. But they're still making moves. They can still score runs, and they still have taken it to the Dodgers, and they're getting closer every single day. I don't know if they're going to be able to catch, but here's the thing. If the Dodgers can make up that two games, now you're in the, like you talked about the other day, now you got to deal with the wild card, and there are five other teams that are right there.
Yeah.
And I look at them, and I think about how the Yankees used to be when you didn't think they had good pitching. They always had the one thing that Joe Torre looked for, the three-run homer, and it always came through. There is very, very little to help the Giants get that three-run homer that's going to help turn things around sometimes. I don't think they have enough offensive firepower. Their pitching, I think, is obviously not as reliable as they thought. And they don't have a bullpen, and they don't have a closer. How are you going to win without a closer? They'll be thinking about it in October. They're not going to make the playoffs.
Wow. So who do you – so Dodgers win the division.
Yeah.
Who makes the wild card?
Any of those other teams. Florida, just the Mets, like the Cardinals, Colorado. I don't know anybody.
Can you imagine the Miami Marlins in the are you kidding me?
Wouldn't that be awesome? I don't like their ownership, but
– I don't think there would be anything awesome about it.
Ichiro's there in Stanton.
You don't think – I mean, obviously, we've seen nothing. You could hear by the trepidation in Jason Ross's voice when he said, oh, yeah, they're going to win the division. We've seen nothing over the course of the last few weeks that have said, yeah, they'll be just fine. But you really think they're going to fall that far off? You think it's going to be one of those things that we talk about in the next few years? Hey, remember when the Giants totally fell apart in the second half of the season? You think it's one of those?
I do. Like, look at their schedule. After this, they go to Washington.
Yeah.
That's three games they have against the Nationals.
Well, they split with Washington last time.
Yeah, but I think that may have been because they were at home. Because they lost the first two games of that series. It did not look like they're going to win any of those games. And they somehow – they had to really go deep to salvage those last two games.
I think Baltimore, Dodgers are coming up after that. I mean, they have some big games this month.
Wow. Well, I can insert myself somewhere strategically with a good offensive coordinator throughout the season. In terms of receptions, and I quote – or excuse me, in terms of yards, and I quote, I would say anywhere from 800 to 1,000. That's on the shy side. Terrell Owens.
Oh, of course.
Mentioned on the Dan Patrick Show he'd like to play football again. Specifically mentioned the Los Angeles Rams, partly because he lives in, probably entirely because he lives in Los Angeles. I don't even know who their receivers are. Tavius Austin, Jared Cook, and Kenny Britt, by the way. And we talked yesterday about Derek Fisher, 42 years old, in great shape, by the way, posted a video on social media saying, hashtag I'm not done yet. Okay. Derek Fisher, Terrell Owens, which one of them do you think has the best chance to make a successful old guy comeback?
So when you say best chance, meaning based upon their physical abilities, not a team's perception of them.
Well, both. Which one out of those two do you think could actually be on a roster when their respective regular seasons start?
Derek Fisher. That's easy because it's basketball and no one's hitting you. Oh, did Terrell forget? Are people going to hit him?
Well, he's been away a while. I think he forgot what the hits
feel
like.
That's the thing. Yeah. That's the thing that makes the huge difference. I believe he could still go out there and run outstanding routes. I believe he could still go out there and battle with some DBs and safeties and take that ball away from them. I think he's that strong. I just don't think that his body would be able to recover week after week after week. Whereas I feel like you can play basketball, and Derek Fisher's in outstanding shape. And it's basketball, and he's a point guard. You play him 10 minutes. He's fine. He could be fine. Derek Fisher
is a freak of a human being, though.
How far removed is he?
T.O.?
It's like five or six years, right?
Yeah. When did Seattle make their first? I think it's 5 years. Because his last team was the Seahawks.
Really?
Yeah.
Forgot.
I was going to see Seattle.
I was
going to see Dallas in Seattle in week two up in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And I was Russell Wilson's first year. I was super hyped because I was going to see Dallas and I was going to see Terrell Owens. Terrell Owens got cut before the regular season started. That was his last team.
2012 was when he was with Seattle. Then he also went and played for the Indoor Football League.
Oh, I don't even remember that. I remember he did a bowling thing. I don't remember the Indoor Football League at all.
I think he owned that team for some reason.
Okay.
Or owned a piece of the team.
The football team or the bowling team?
The football team.
Oh, okay.
The Indoor Football team.
Oh, okay.
But either way, 2012 was the last time he was actually involved in professional football.
I really don't think the chances are strong for either one, but to answer Fisher. I think Ken's right.
You could just bring him in as a mentor.
He could hit it. I know he could shoot a three. He's left out. He'll make it. I mean, he's capable. He's been a coach that's actually a unique angle. I could even see as maybe a little bit of a bonus to a team, but I don't know the chances are strong for either one, but I'd lean towards Fisher.
Mentor, point guard.
Yeah.
What franchise needs both of those, huh?
Hey, we don't need that here, man. Don't start no
trouble. Come
on. There's more layers to that.
Don't start no trouble.
It'll be fun.
I can't have Matt Barnes, Derek Fisher, and DeMarcus Cousins in the same locker room. Can't have it.
You guys have no vision.
23 years ago today, one of the great moments in baseball. Little inside pitch from Nolan Ryan to Robin Ventura, and then it was on. Young Robin Ventura, got to learn a little bit more about Nolan Ryan, didn't he?
Get this noogie.
Yes.
We all learned a little bit about Nolan Ryan that day.
Take this noogie.
So pretty good sports fight. I don't know. I mean, it escalated a little bit more after that, but it's a famous video. I'm sure you've seen it by now. Made me think, who would you like to see fight?
A
couple of athletes, get it on.
Everybody.
Prisoner of the moment.
Don't they have one of those wrestling things where everybody has to get in a cage?
A cage? Not a cage. Everyone's got to get in the ring. Battle Royal.
Battle Royal, thank you.
That's what Ken wants.
Yes.
Put a bunch of people in there.
Put a bunch of them in there. Let's just go. You know, who's your first? Go ahead.
Well, it's the same as you. It's the same because it was the first thing I thought of when Jason sent the text because we had already gotten the Russell Westbrook story. And then right after that, we got KD's first remarks. Have you called Russell Westbrook to congratulate him? And he says, nah, that's a touchy subject. It's like, okay.
That's it.
There it is.
In the ring.
I don't want to see him fight.
I was going to say, right? I wouldn't want to see that.
I don't want to see him fight. However, first Golden State, Oklahoma City game. In Oklahoma City, maybe a foul that's a little too hard. Maybe they and a little skirmish. Not a fight. Just a square off. Crowd goes nuts. Like, I'm thinking of it as a wrestling moment now that you brought up wrestling. I'm thinking, like, the stare down. Crowd goes, you know, big pop. Someone hits, like, theme music somewhere or something. Stone Cold Steve Austin's theme music. I want to see that. Oh, I actually want to see them.
Then Durant's booed forever.
Oh, absolutely. Oh,
yeah. Yeah,
no question.
That pregame fun love fest for him turns quickly if he
but
does that.
Do you think the love fest, they may have, it's gone?
I don't know. I still think they'll show a great video and all that.
Nate Duncan had a very nice outlook on how he hopes it goes.
Yeah.
But, hey, man, we got stuff to do. We got to talk about something.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, Oklahoma City, what do you think they're talking about today? They're creating a storyline for November, December, whenever that first game is. Yeah. And how could this not be on Christmas Day? I would rather see this than a finals matchup on Christmas Day.
They might put it. Maybe they'll switch
it.
They
might switch it, yeah. I want them to be in a situation, but I want it to be controlled in this manner. I want it to be at a kegger.
Oh, my gosh.
And here's why. There are no more emotional fights than two guys at a kegger. So I want these two to be at a party, maybe have one beer at the most. Then stuff starts happening. Because at that point, then all the stuff will come out. Because they'll say stuff to each other. You understand what I'm saying to you? It'll be emotional. Because, you know, especially with guys are holding them back. No, man, let me have them. Man, you left me hanging up by myself, Oklahoma City player. You said you're going to stay. That sort of stuff's coming out. I couldn't stay, man. You be holding the ball all the time. You know what I'm saying? When the emotional stuff comes out, they throw a couple punches, they don't land, and then, man, why you leave, man? I love you, man. You're my boy. And then they make up. No?
I like it.
Yeah.
The sound effects and the visuals that you put into that, I think, are a lot of fun.
They roll around on the ground for about 4 or 5 minutes, and then they get up. Just like,
but they don't really hit each other?
Nope.
Yep.
They don't really hit each other.
Yeah, just rolling.
Then they're exhausted, emotionally spent. And then that's when they're like, I love you, dog. How come you love me,
and
man?
They hug it. Isn't that what we saw in that golf course video we were watching yesterday?
Yes.
Where two guys were fighting on a golf course, and suddenly they stop and shake hands?
It's like,
what the hell?
Nice punch. Good job.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Exactly.
Okay. J-Ross?
Any others?
I have one that I do want to see, and I literally want them to fight, because if the one guy gets hit, I don't know if he'll react, but I want Steven Adams and Draymond Green to fight.
There you go.
Oh.
Yeah.
They need to fight.
Get it out of their systems.
Yeah. Settled. And I think it would be pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Steven Adams is scary. Draymond Green's not going to back down.
Nope.
I think that'd be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it'd be a good fight, but I think some people want to fight Richard Sherman, so maybe Crabtree gets a crack at him.
No.
I don't like that one.
I love Richard Sherman.
Yeah, me too.
You do?
Yeah.
I don't like that one.
You love him.
I love
Richard
Sherman.
Okay.
Love everything about that player.
You know what I'd love to see is Andrew Luck fight anybody.
Just get mad.
I just want to see Andrew Luck get mad enough to the point where he wants to fight someone.
You know what I want to see?
Huh.
Isaiah Thomas and Michael Jordan.
The Hall of Famer, Isaiah Thomas.
Would have a lot of stuff.
If I say
up.
Isaiah and Michael Jordan, anyone out there with common sense knows I'm not talking about the point guard from Boston. I'm talking to fans out there. So, Isaiah Thomas, the Hall of Famer, and Michael Jordan. That's real beef.
I'd pay to
that's
see that.
That's pay-per-view right there.
That's WrestleMania. That's WrestleMania in Chicago or something, or Detroit.
Another old school one that's always I've been afraid of forever, just in Charles Oakley fighting anybody.
Oh,
I
Charles,
just
want
to see someone
nobody
take
wants
him down
to mess with that.
If they can.
Ain't nobody going to mess with that.
Yeah.
Nobody.
text line, by the way, for this juvenile conversation is the phone lines. The phone lines are open for you if you'd like to chime in. We obviously would love to hear from you. 339-1140. 1-800-920-1140, Text Nation, as always, on top of it. It's funny that we segued from the Matt Barnes, Derek Fisher joke into the story about what two athletes you'd like to see fight, as opposed to what two athletes have already fought, and we just didn't get to see it.
Yeah. No, we didn't.
Mike Piazza and Roger Clemens?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want Roger Clemens to just admit that he threw the freaking bat at him.
Oh, he'll do. He don't care.
Has he admitted that yet?
No, I remember the first time he's like, yeah, I thought it was the ball. You didn't think it was the ball.
Seriously.
So then you're throwing the ball at him?
Yeah, I mean, who are you throwing the ball to? Like, what? This is dodgeball? Come on, man.
You can dodge a bat. Yeah. You can dodge a ball.
And I love how, like, if you watch the replay of it, Mike Piazza, like, accelerates towards the bat just for a brief second and then stops to make it appear that the bat came a lot closer to him than it really did. And then he starts to head towards the mound.
He didn't really, though. He had no conviction when he was going to the mound.
No baseball player, with very few exceptions, have had true conviction when going to a mound.
No, there's some.
There's a couple.
When they go,
there's a couple.
Coming.
We've seen them, and we've seen them pretty recently.
Yeah.
But history, no.
I don't know if someone wants to fight maybe Bautista in a fair square up. I don't think he knew Odor was going to punch him, and Odor got him good.
Yeah, he did.
Here's an intriguing one. Vontaze Burfict and James Harrison.
Oh, man. No one would survive.
Yeah, that's not good.
That is literally a fight to the death.
Yeah, that would get dirty. Do we want Josh Norman and OB?
Oh, Odell
Beckham Jr.?
Yeah.
That's another one where you just everybody get it out of your system.
Yeah.
That's what you have.
Because you guys got to play twice a year. You might have to play in the playoffs maybe. Yeah, get it out of your system.
Just fight before the anthem. Just go.
One where the coach is like, everybody gets, remember the old bull ring?
Yes.
We used to call it the man maker. It was called man maker, where you would be the guy.
Yeah,
in the
nicknames for everything.
No, that was what the thing was called. And so you would get in the middle of the circle, and you wouldn't know where the hitter was coming from.
Oh, that's brutal.
And they would come at you. You had to turn around and square up and take it like a block and stand on your feet. And there was also one where you had to stand by yourself, and there were two lines. And they would come at you, right shoulder, you had to step forward, right shoulder, hit him, left shoulder, step forward, left shoulder, hit him, and take those hits each time. Left, right, left, right, left, right.
DeMarcus Cousins can get some of his frustrations out with Charles Barkley. Now, that's not fair, age difference. And Charles wasn't even a fighter. Like, give me a break. Charles threw a basketball at Shaquille O'Neal. Yeah. They didn't fight.
No, he body slammed Shaquille O'Neal. You don't remember that?
No, he didn't.
I will show you the video.
He threw the ball at him. Shaq went at him, and then they were just kind of like, well, we're doing it.
Nah, player. He picked him up. You don't remember that? They're on the baseline. He grabbed him from behind because they were like, in it behind him. And he was like,
Did he like German suplex him or something? Like,
not a fool, but like more of a Tim Burr. You know what I'm saying? I got you. We're going down now. Look, I got you, fella.
How about Bonds versus Jeff Kent? That's a good one. Those two hated each other, right?
Yep.
But, Jeff Kent had good reason.
Everybody had good reason for hating Barry Bonds, and he knows it. Like, he admitted that a few weeks ago. The big admission we've all been waiting for, right?
Yeah.
I'm a jerk. Sorry.
How about Jose Canseco and Mark McGwire? Because Jose called him out. He was the first one to be like, that guy did roids with me. I know for a fact.
Yeah, but if you're Mark McGwire, can you be mad? Because it's not like he was lying. Like, name one thing Jose Canseco has lied about.
Nothing, but he totally called him out. And I remember McGwire was super upset about that when it first happened.
Tex Nation is creating some real scary matchups. Khalil Mack and Von Miller.
Oh, man.
They don't have any beef. They
don't have beef, but that's scary to think about.
Yeah.
That's the Vontaze and James Harrison fight. That's one of those fight to the death ones.
All right, let's go J.J. Watt and Gronk.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Seeing two big Jack White guys go.
Yes, Brock, come on, bro.
Brock Lesnar runs in and makes it a three-way. It'd be awesome.
Come on, bro. What do you want to do? Come on. Yeah.
Which one was that? Was that J.J. Watt?
Either one of them.
Doesn't matter.
It was both.
This is the most juvenile conversation we've ever had.
But, oh, so fun. So much fun.
Clamoring for a Doug Christie-Rick Fox rematch.
Ooh.
That was a good punch.
It was
a really good punch.
And Rick had
I'd rather see Rick versus Jackie.
Ooh.
Pretty Ricky. I think Jackie for Peter's she ass.
Pretty Ricky had it coming, and he knew it.
People want to see Yasiel Puig fight. One of my favorite hashtags is Puig's your friend. Or what is it?
Yeah.
Puig your friend?
Yeah.
I love that. That's funny. He sent that to Ken Rosenthal the other day, and Ken acknowledged that he messed up the report about him storming out. Mm. He said, hey, no worries. Hashtag Puig your friend.
Didn't he send it to the top draft pick, the quarterback for the Rams?
Goff. Jared Goff. He said it's Jared Goff. Right. Yeah. Because Goff is a Giants fan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and Puig and they never really got totally into it, but Puig and Bumgarner had a shouting match. And Bumgarner sees the law a little bit too much sometimes.
Totally.
I could picture someone wanting to go. I don't know if anybody wants to go after him, but that might be interesting. I don't know if he's all bark, but there might be some bite there.
I think I would love to have pitchers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pitchers getting fights because, especially – mad bum. You're right. He walks around out there like he is the king ruler. You better not come out here and look at me. But there's got to be somebody that wants to be his huckleberry.
Hey, he's got a truck commercial. He can do it. When you get when you have a truck commercial, you can do what
That's
you want.
That's true. Who would be his huckleberry? Who wants that? What's he, like 6'5"?
Yeah, he's a big dude. He's a big dude.
Ryan Howard? Oof. Send him out there?
Yeah. Ryan,
he's too old. Oh, he's too old.
Too old. That's not fair.
Yeah.
It's not fair. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Again, sorry for the juvenile conversation. Aaron, what's on your mind, man?
I'd like to see Bret the Hitman Hart get the screw job back on Vince McMahon.
Okay, there you go. That's a good one for that's a good wrestling reference right there, Aaron. We appreciate it. The problem with that is they tried to do that at a WrestleMania and it was a disaster. Yeah. It was awful. Like I could see the interest in your guys' your guys' eyes when it comes to WrestleManias of the past.
No, wasn't there a WrestleMania event where Donald Trump shaved Vince McMahon's head?
Yes.
And that was
highest grossing WrestleMania in history up until a couple years ago during the first Rock Austin. The first Cena Rock match.
And that was real. That was real. He shaved his head.
He did shave his head. Yeah, he did shave his head. Yeah, that was real. Because the idea was Vince had a wrestler, Donald Trump had a wrestler, whichever respective the loser, their head would be shaved. So the selling point was you would get the chance to see Donald Trump get his head shaved.
Which you knew he was never going to agree to that.
Of course not. But on the other hand, it was like, is Vince McMahon really going to shave his head? And he did right there in Ford Field in Detroit in front of, 60, 70,000 people. Lawrence Taylor once fought at a WrestleMania. There have been a lot of athletes. Like Refrigerator Perry did it at WrestleMania 2. Karl Malone and Dennis Rodman were in a tag match against each other once. Which was right after the Chicago-Utah finals, by the way.
Is that right?
It was days after the finals ended. Mm. It was tremendous.
That's weird.
I remember there being a WrestleMania event, and my dad got mad because it was Mr. T.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody...
In a boxing match?
No, I thought it was a wrestling thing, and somebody beat him with a belt.
Yeah, that probably happened. Yeah, it was Roddy Piper in WrestleMania 2.
Yeah, my dad was like, uh-uh.
Roddy Piper. Uh-uh. The stuff Roddy Piper used to say in the early 80s about black people would get WWE and it would get everybody thrown off the air.
Really? I didn't know anything about that.
Oh, WWE is like one of the most racist companies in history, but they don't do it like blatantly. They just create black stereotypes.
Oh, for crying
like
out loud.
Like the old WWE manager Slick was a pimp.
Oh, for crying out loud, man.
The Godfather, another pimp. From the Attitude Era, the mid-90s. Junkyard Dog.
Now, does that explain?
Coco Beware. You're either affiliated with a street-type thing, like a pimp, or you're an animal. You're a Junkyard Dog, or you're Coco Beware, or you're a bird.
It's a bird?
Really?
Well, he was his nickname was the Birdman. He used to come out to Morris Day. And this has been your wrestling history. That's what he used to do right there. See? Jason Ross knows.
America.
Yep. WWE at its finest right there. We'll come back. We'll get this all back on track. The preseason top 25 came out. We got that plus NFL news and notes coming up here next on your home for the best live and local coverage of the National Football League, Sports 1140 KHTK. Join Sports 1140 for the Sacramento Whiskey, Wine, and Spirits Festival August 19th at the California Museum. Step back in time and enjoy an opulent party reminiscent of the Great Gatsby era with samplings of the finest whiskeys, wines, and spirits from around the region. In addition, enjoy live entertainment and delicious bites from some of Sacramento's premier restaurants. Purchase your tickets now at khdk.com. Thank you so much for being with us here on The Lowdown. Jason Ross, Ken Rudolph. My name is Damian Barling, and the preseason top 25 for college football has come out. Jason, I know you're excited about this.
I'm excited about the start of college football, but that's one of my biggest pet peeves is the preseason rankings.
They're awful.
Yeah.
They're awful.
What do they mean? What are they for?
Well, they actually...
Who's good? How do we know?
Well, they mean a lot in that...
Too much.
Exactly. If you're slotted in the wrong position, it could be impossible for you to move up, or a loss could drop you so far out. You can't get back in.
Exactly.
And that's
my beef with it.
UCLA is ranked 24.
Yeah, so, okay, that's my team. That's the team I want to win every year, win every game, win 100 championships, never happens. But at 24, that's a good example. They've got some work to do.
Mm-hmm.
The first week, they play Texas A&M. I believe they're ranked, too. So that's two ranked teams.
Yeah, the first week's usually really good.
Yeah, but –
Or the second.
Let's take – who's a top five? Tell me a top – didn't you say
– Clemson?
Bama, Clemson, Oklahoma. Florida State.
I'll take Ohio Oklahoma. State. I'll just take Oklahoma. They're three seed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or three, right?
Ranked three, yep.
If they lose week one and UCLA loses week one, UCLA right now is 24. UCLA is going to go out of the top 25. They should if that's where you start. And really, if you lose week one, you probably shouldn't be in. Oklahoma will go to 12.
Teens, yeah. Yeah.
How long is it going to take them for get it back? UCLA, it would take forever to get back.
Mm-hmm.
But they lost to a ranked Texas A&M team. Let's say Oklahoma loses to a
Well, they're playing number 13, Houston.
Okay. Well, that's not a good example. But someone that plays just a cupcake and they have a terrible loss, they're going to drop big time, but they can get that back. And I just – what does this even mean? That's projections. We don't even know. Why don't we let the teams play?
And do you have any issue with Baylor?
Hell yeah, I got an issue with Baylor.
Being, do you feel like they should be –
they're ranked 21st.
Like, they're ranked 21. Be precluded from this because everything that's happening?
Absolutely. You said it a dozen freaking times, but apparently no one's listening to us. The NCAA is not listening to us.
No, they're not.
We need to send them clips of this show.
Yeah.
They death penalty. They
the
have
SMU
no
–
they,
death penalty.
They
yep.
should not be – they should not have the opportunity to compete for a playoff spot.
Yep.
They absolutely should not. But they do.
Yeah.
Yep, there they are.
But let them find out some kid got money from a booster. NCAA will shut that down quick.
Mm-hmm.
But all this other stuff, rape victims, sexuals, nah.
We'll get to it.
We'll turn a blind eye to that.
Well, and the other thing, so to go back on the game we just said, would you say Oklahoma and Houston, that's 3 versus 13 in week one. As of right now, that sounds really good. 3 versus 13, that's a good matchup. I'm just going to say, let's say Houston finishes 7-5. They weren't 13th in the country.
And that's
sound
the
very
other
good.
Thing. Yeah, that's...
And then later when they go, well, they didn't play anybody. Well, when we played them, they were 13. That's what you guys thought they were.
Yeah.
But now because they went 7-5, they weren't very good. Well, I don't know why they start with rankings. In the NFL, I mean, that's where I've always done the comparison. So let's say we do that in the NFL and other sports. To measure how you make the playoffs, we rank you?
Mm-hmm.
Who's number one in the NFL going in? Denver? Is that fair? And then what's it going to take for the Buccaneers to get into the top four, what we're waiting for? What does Tampa have to do?
Well, the playoff structure is different.
Yeah, it is. But that's just such a weird and arbitrary. And so the preseason rankings do matter. But we have no idea what the makeup of these teams will be except for, well, they've got 18 returners. Well, that doesn't mean anything.
And that's why I hate Florida State.
Yeah.
Why?
Because Florida State won a national championship in a year that they played and beat no one.
Right.
The ACC sucks. They're awful.
In football.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're a basketball school. Tremendous basketball conference. Basketball conference. They had no right being in that game.
Yeah.
But the way the system is set up, they were ranked high. Oh, they're so good. They had a player to watch. On that team,
what year was
so
that?
So there were a lot of eyeballs on them. The Jameis Winston year.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
They won the national title. They were essentially handed it.
Yeah.
Then they got into a playoff structure where they had to play real teams.
Yeah.
And they got it handed to them.
Yeah, Oregon.
They got embarrassed by Ohio State
Oregon.
Oregon
took it to them. Yeah.
And there was clip after clip of Jameis Winston being made a fool of. Being exposed against a real top-tier program. And that's one thing that just drives me crazy about college football.
Me too.
And the other thing, Stanford,
mm-hmm.
Christian McCaffrey.
Right.
Christian McCaffrey's going to be on the Heisman watch list.
Should be.
Except for the fact no one's going to watch him.
Right.
Because their games start at 10:30.
Yeah. And, I mean, I'm Pac-12 biased, but I think you put Florida State in that conference and to have to play road games at – Oregon or UCLA or Stanford
Dead.
Or SC. I mean, that's just too much. It's really difficult to get through that conference.
They're 500 at best. At best, they're 500.
Big Ten's gotten much better.
Yeah, why doesn't the Pac-12 get more respect?
I think because they beat each other enough.
Did you miss the start time of the games?
Yeah.
No one watches them.
Well, that and then people just go to the record and go, oh, the best team is 9-3?
Yeah.
Well, because they had to go to Stanford or to USC or wherever, and Oregon and – beat each other up.
Yeah. I think one intriguing scenario here is Ohio State is ranked 5th. Maybe a little high considering how many people they've lost. Michigan's ranked 8th.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is Michigan's. I think the Harbaugh era is accelerating extremely fast. Maybe a year, 2 years faster than I thought it would. And I watch that conference a lot. I think this is the year Michigan finally beats Ohio State.
Mm.
But I think they also put these rankings together it's all about money, especially with the NCAA.
No.
And they rank Notre Dame and Michigan
right
together.
Right.
8 and 9.
Yep.
Just to get that started.
Yep. Sure.
Just to get all
absolutely.
That started.
No question about it. Tennessee's in the top 10 for the first time in a decade. That program has been irrelevant for so long. We'll see what they're able to do. NFL news. Nick Foles has a team. It's not the Dallas Cowboys. And the Cowboys have ruled out a potential backup quarterback. We got that coming up next. Plus, Andy Manoy of the MMQB joins us at 2 o'clock. What I mentioned, a lot going on in the Bay Area there in that tease. And, well, one thing that's not going on because it's over is the San Francisco Giants and the Philadelphia Phillies. Giants got themselves a win.
Woohoo!
It almost feels like a miracle at this point. Kinda. Especially in a game that was that close.
Another close game.
Yep.
And they're hitting the road and going straight to the nation's capital. The
Nationals next, yeah. Woo. Challenge ramps up. But Matt Moore pitched well in his debut. Span hit the homer in the 10th. Hang on to win.
Now they've only lost 13 of their last 18 games. So
suddenly
they're,
hot.
We're getting hot. Getting moving. All good for them. I mean,
yeah, they needed it.
Yeah, they absolutely needed it. And you never know. Baseball is a weird game. You never know what can spark the next. We joke about it every time the A's string together a couple of wins.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, 4-game winning streak. When's the 6-game losing streak coming?
Yeah.
And inevitably it comes right after. They don't like to, like, win a game and then lose a game. They like to win a bunch of them and then lose a bunch of them in a row.
This series is perfect. They scored the most runs for Bumgarner, lost. Had the best pitching for Cueto and lost. And today scored their least runs, won extras, and won. I don't know. Weird game.
Whatever.
Yep.
Take it. Giants fans all over
baseball.
The place. Giants fans all over the place will take it. Nick Foles signed with the Kansas City Chiefs.
The who, the what?
Right. Like, did any
– what?
Why? When?
Okay.
I mean, he was likely a backup, but to go back to Andy Reid, I guess, one part. Two, financially, they stole him.
Oh, absolutely.
They're barely paying him.
I thought for sure Foles was going to get $3 million?
I was thinking, $4 or $5 for backup money.
Yeah,
well,
I thought he would get the Kyle Orton deal we talked about the other day where you were going to pay this kid a ton of money or you were going to pay this guy a bunch of money to hopefully not have to play.
Yeah.
Well, why didn't you guys, as I say you guys, why didn't the Cowboys step in and be much more aggressive? They really need a backup quarterback.
Maybe he wanted to go play with Andy Reid. Maybe he wanted to go to Kansas City. Maybe he doesn't see Alex Smith being a starter the whole year.
So
I don't know.
Word on whether or not the Cowboys even made him an offer or even pursued him?
I haven't seen anything of that sort. Everything from the time we did the show yesterday to the time we started preparing for today, everything, Stephen Jones was, Nick Foles is definitely an option. He makes, like, total sense here. Remember, a week ago, he wasn't going to get the snaps.
Yeah.
That was Jerry Jones' exact remarks when Nick Foles got cut. Oh, he wouldn't get the snaps here. We have no interest in bringing him. Kellen Moore goes down. It's, he makes total sense. He would fit in here beautifully. What went on from there, I have no idea.
All right.
I haven't seen anything. I just, breaking news alert pops up that says Nick Foles signs with.
Yeah.
What?
And I don't see
Chiefs?
I don't see Alex Smith as being a fragile quarterback.
I don't think so
either. The only time he missed any games was with the Niners, from what I can recall.
It was a concussion.
The concussion protocol,
lost his job. But other than that, he had been reliable.
Yeah. And you got to think, after that, he's never going to say he's hurt again.
I'm fine.
No, I'm good.
Fine. And how about that, right? The NFL with the that's a 3-year-old story. Let's not get into that. Andy Benoit is going to join us at 2 o'clock. Actually wrote an article about Alex Smith being a game manager and how that's okay for what Kansas City does. I'm curious. We'll ask him when he joins us at 2 o'clock what he thinks about this Nick Foles signing. Navarro Bowman signed a big deal with your San Francisco 49ers. $20 million guaranteed. Everyone's looking at it, the $70 million. That's not the real number. I think it was 4 years, $70
million. Mm-hmm.
Not the real number. Yeah. $20 million is the real number. The real story is there were 3 years left on his deal.
Yeah, I don't know that they had to do this.
You talked to Nate Duncan earlier when talking about basketball and renegotiating contracts, how that doesn't happen very often. This never happens in the NFL. You hear restructure all the time, but that usually is bonus money changing, signing bonus money changing, freeing up cap space. This, I don't know what this was. I mean, it's cool. Navarro Bowman's definitely an important part of the San Francisco 49ers, but with 3 years left on his deal.
Maybe it's a gesture from the franchise, as he's super important, it's very vital, especially after guys like Patrick Willis decided to retire early. And, of course, that horrific injury. Every time I hear the name, I think of that from the playoff game or from the game against, I do believe, Seattle. But the fact that he came back from that, and he was outstanding last year. So I thought maybe it was just a gesture from the franchise, like, you're our guy. It was horrific, but you came back, and you're just as good as you were. We want you to be. I mean, every once in a while, I think that a franchise does that for a player. Every once in a while. I think that's what this might be.
Saw a quote today. Bowman said, out of respect for Patrick Willis, I took a little bit and a less and understood that this was his team at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now probably feels it's his team, at least defensively, and payday's coming. Again,
interesting.
It's all about the guaranteed money.
Yeah, interesting. He also said in that same media scrum, my heart is here. It's been here the last 6 years. Happy to show other guys how we do it here. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Is that a recruiting tactic for, hey, come play for San Francisco? Look how they take care of their players?
I think so.
That's what that line sounds like to me.
Sounds like that to me as well, because what's the narrative that's been coming out of San Francisco the last couple of years? They're in disarray.
Mm-hmm.
Franchise has no stability. They've got no coaching. They're losing all of their players. What happened?
Right.
Just 4 years ago, they were the team to beat. So maybe he's trying to put that out there. It's like, no, we haven't fallen off. We're still here, and I'm still here, and I'm letting you know this is how we do it.
Another story we talked about a couple of days ago, Trent Richardson being released from the Baltimore Ravens, being released again. John Harbaugh spoke on this, and he actually got agitated as the media conference went along.